Have your Bibles turn with me this morning to the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10 and verse number 30. Again, it's so wonderful to be here this morning in the house of God. Luke 10, verse 30. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. That was the bishop there that did that. You can tell him when he comes that I said that. And likewise, a Levite, that's me and Brother Mike, I suppose, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Did you see that? Where he was. That's where we're supposed to be and doing ministry for the kingdom's sake, as to be where they are. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to a motel, rented the motel, and took care of him there. And on the morrow, when he departed from the motel, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host or the manager of the motel, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now Jesus asked a question in the next verse. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he answered, Jesus answered his own question, he that sheweth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Would the Lord bless his word this morning and bless this feeble preacher, and let your ears be attuned to the word of God in Jesus' name, and you may be seated in his presence. Would you lend me your ears just for a few minutes this morning? Here's the message. Here's the message. This man, the Good Samaritan, allowed himself to be inconvenienced. He allowed himself to be inconvenienced. Boy, I don't like to be inconvenienced. I like things to be normal, and when it gets out of normal, I don't like that. I like things like they are. I don't like change too much.
Right. Yeah.
I like bacon and eggs. I don't do too well on that other stuff that they've come out with. Amen. I like stuff that's got substance to it,
yeah,
that puts some meat on your bones.
And
I know it's not good for you, but anything that's good's not good for you. We don't like to be inconvenienced,
right,
unless it benefits us.
Uh-huh.
Unless it benefits us.
Yes.
It's like a letter to a young lady wrote to her has-been boyfriend. She says this, I have fought long and hard about it and should not have broken our engagement. All those things I said about your character, about your family, was just my emotions getting the best of me. Please, please, please take me back and forget the problems we have had. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery. Isn't it amazing if it conveniences us, we don't mind it, but if it comes to be inconvenience for the souls of men We don't like to, prayer, and pastor said something a few minutes ago, prayer is something that is almost a lost art in the church world because it causes us to be inconvenienced. And we think, have you ever prayed and in your prayer time, the enemy of your soul caused you to think about everything in the world except your prayer time? It is because the enemy does not want us to be inconvenienced to a place that we might actually pray a hole into the heavens, touch God, pull down the strongholds of the enemy, to build spiritual tabernacles in the place of a wicked, wicked, wicked world. God, would you inconvenience us again?
Yes, sir.
It's good preaching, Bruce. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good preaching.
Here's what inconvenience means. It means aggravation. It means to be annoyed. It means to have awkwardness about what we are doing that does inconvenience us. It is a disruption in our life because we're not used to it. It's a disturbance in our life. It's an exasperation sometimes because it causes us to go beyond the normal everyday life. But would you agree with me, in the kingdom of God, we need to pray that prayer, Lord, inconvenience me and cause me to do more in the kingdom than I've ever done before.
Yes, sir. Yes,
amen.
Sir. Yes, amen.
Inconvenience. Isaiah said it like this. It comes down, Paul said, I'll get to Isaiah in just a second, but Paul said, when you've done all that you know to do, and you've done everything that you know to do, just stand. And Isaiah said it like this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's something there that is for us this morning. Yeah. In our inconvenience, in our times of exasperation, when we're at church on Sunday and the glory from another world is settling upon us and God is just moving in a glorious way and we're then running in this race and God has anointed us above our fellows and we're running the race. He said, you shall run and not be weary. But he said, every once in a while, there's going to be times when you don't feel like shouting. There's going to be times when you don't feel like running. There'll be times when it feels like that all of hell has assailed itself upon you. He said, you'll walk and not faint. Oh, God, would you inconvenience us? But in our inconvenience, let us wait upon God and be renewed and strengthened.
Yes.
And do something like we've never done before in the kingdom. If this ever was the time to be inconvenienced, we're living in a godless world. I never thought I would live in these United States of America and see what I'm seeing. A few months ago, I attended my 50th class reunion of high school, and they asked me, I don't know why, because I do a lot of talking, I suppose. They said, Bruce, would you stand up and tell us what you've learned in the last 50 years? I said, I'll be happy to. When I was 5 years old, I started to school. And over here, I said, it said at 5 years old, boys. There and over here it said girls. I knew that I belonged in the one that said boys at 5 years old. We've got a country that's confused on that. We don't know whether we're boys or girls or ints or anything else. I say, God, would you inconvenience the church again and let us stand in the anointing of the Holy Ghost and know who God is one more time. We have searched for everything to bring in, to substitute what God and who God really is.
Yes. Amen.
Little Sister Garner, the church I was raised in, been in the presence of God for 50 something years. In fact, she's been there longer than I've been preaching. And Sister Garner would come through, Brother Chris, the back door of the church. It didn't matter if it was Wednesday night, a Sunday morning. It could be Sunday night, Brother Mike. And she'd come through the back door. That little bony hand would be shaking like that. And you knew she'd been in the presence of the Lord. And God had inconvenienced her soul. And she'd say, "Woo! He's here! He's here! He's here!" And I'm telling you, heaven would fall in that place in a glory from another world. And we would drink from celestial fountains because one person allowed themselves to be inconvenienced for the kingdom's
sake. Oh, hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Without a cost, we labor in vain when we're trying to do spiritual things in the kingdom of God. It's called waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you realize Jesus' whole ministry was inconvenience? He laid aside the heavenly robes, came as a babe in the manger, inconvenienced himself from the holy diadem of heaven, laying it aside to come as a babe in swaddling clothes in a manger yonder in the star of Bethlehem hovered over that manger. And yet that manger represents an inconvenience in the life of the wise men, inconvenience in the life of the shepherds, inconvenience in the life of Mary and Joseph as they helped that supreme a baby from God and God incarnate in this world, and his whole ministry was inconvenience. Jesus was in a boat and he's going across the Sea of Galilee. He's in a storm, and in that storm he rises as the disciples are scared to death, and he says, "Peace, be still." Something about that storm, Pastor, I want to deal with this morning. Did you know the way you handle your storm will be how you do ministry?
Yeah.
The way you handle your storm will be how you affect your grandkids. The way you handle your storm will be how your grandkids will look at you as Papa and Nana, or whatever they call you. And the way you handle your storm will be as to what kind of ministry we do for the kingdom's sake. Jesus gets out of his storm and comes to the tomb of the Gadarenes, and there legion runs to him and said, "What have I to do, Jesus, thou Son of David? Leave me alone." And he cast out the many demons, and they run into the swine and they go over the hill. Right out of the tomb, Jesus is approached by Jairus, and he says, "Master, my daughter is dying. And she, if you don't get there, she's going to be dead." And before Jesus could get to Jairus' daughter, here comes the crowd around him, throwing him. The way I handle my storm, Pastor,
yes,
is how effective I will be in ministry. The way I handle my storm is how much prayer I do when nobody else is looking at me. What I am in my character when the light's turned off. And then when I handle that storm, whatever it is how effective I will be for the kingdom's
yes,
sake.
Good,
and Jairus, before the throne of the people, they thrown him. And this little woman with the issue of blood, she has went to all the doctors that she can go to. Do you understand where she's at? She is hopeless. She has got a
female problem and she's bleeding to death. Yeah. And the doctors can't help her.
Right.
But she said, I've heard about this Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And if I can just touch the hem of his garment,
yes,
I'll be made whole. Now you understand, Jairus' daughter is dying. And Jesus takes time to allow this woman with the issue of blood to reach out in the throne of that great throne around him and touch his garment.
Yes.
Jesus takes time to turn around and ask the question, who touched me? And Jairus' daughter is dying.
Uh-huh. Come on.
But the way you handle the storm is how effective you will be in the ministry.
Come on. Good.
And so she touches him, and the Bible says immediately she's made whole of that issue of blood. It dries up and strength comes to her body. And in the meantime, Jairus' daughter is dead.
Yeah.
But how you handle your storm will be how effective you will be. The last time I heard, Jairus' daughter is very much alive.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Because he handled his storm and he faced his ministry. And I say to you this morning, I say to me as a preacher of the gospel, Lord, would you inconvenience us again?
Yes.
If a man preached the gospel as your pastor and me and several others maybe in this building, that you're a preacher of the gospel. I've said this a lot of times. I've got to be inconvenienced to have influence on my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be inconvenienced to have influence on my grandkids.
Yeah.
Because grandkids are God's blessing on you for not killing your kids. That's in the deep Greek. You can, but it's true. The possibilities as a child of the King should cause us to be inconvenienced and not to be alarmed about that inconvenience.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nathan or Naaman was alarmed about being inconvenienced.
Yeah.
He was dying.
Yeah.
You know, if I was dying and somebody said, I've got the antidote for your healing, it would have seemed to me that I would, without question, say, Pastor, give it to me.
Right.
But Naaman doesn't like to be inconvenienced. And here he goes to the prophet of the Lord, Brother Larry. And the prophet doesn't get out of his easy chair. It sounds like a Pentecostal preacher to me. And he says, I tell you what, do Gehazi, run out there and tell him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And he becomes very, very, very. Isn't it amazing how we as human beings, we have a tendency to get out of snuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we can do it. Now, it doesn't happen trendy. I know that. But it's amazing that people can do it in church.
Uh-huh.
You better say amen or I'll think you're guilty. It is amazing to me they can do it in the church house, serving God, worshiping God. They can get all bent out of shape, and that's what happened. I pastored Naaman one time.
Yeah.
I did. He was in my church. He's all out of stuff. And his servant said that he had told you to go to one of our pure rivers, you would have done that. Can you imagine him? All right. In his frustration. All right, wife, I'll get up this morning and go to church. How come we have to go to church every Sunday? Listen to that man preach. He's been there 38 years. I've heard everything that he's got to say. Hey, did you know something? It ain't what Brother Mike's got to say. It's what the Holy Ghost has got to say through him. And I'm telling you, I've got confidence in that man right there. As sure as I stand behind this pulpit, as any preacher that I know. And wouldn't it be something in our inconvenience when we don't feel like doing something for the king? Boy, we're proud to do whatever we want to do. Boy, I didn't intend to do this, but I'm doing it. This may be the last time I ever come, but Lord, would you inconvenience? He goes to the river, and in his disgust, he dips himself. That's four times, and he says, can you imagine? He's aggravated anyway. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing happening.
Yeah.
And that ain't is in the deep Greek too.
Yes, sir.
And there's not anything happening. Nothing has taken place. Five times, six times, I'm telling you, he's ready to go because there's not anything happening down at Trinity. I'm not going down there anymore. It's the same old, same old. Wouldn't it be something if God allowed you to be inconvenienced and you were the culprit? You were the channel, if you please, to open up an avenue of God in this place to change this church for Siloam Springs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I like that.
Yeah.
Seventh time he comes up, he's pure because he allowed himself to be inconvenienced.
Yeah.
I think about Mephibosheth.
Uh-huh.
Mephibosheth.
Yeah.
Mephibosheth is in Lodabar.
Yeah.
Lodabar is a place of desolate. All you get in Lodabar is dust. And when you get up in the morning, you smell more dust.
Yeah.
It is a place of complete bankruptcy. There's nothing happening in Lodabar.
Yeah.
And Mephibosheth was dropped by his maid, and he's crippled. He's in Lodabar.
Mm-hmm.
But David, he's a grandson of Jonathan, or is he a son? I don't know.
Saul.
Mephibosheth was son of Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Yeah. That would be theology right here.
Deep, it's a deep Greek.
Yeah, Jonathan, Saul's son. Yeah. Saul's
grandson.
Yeah. Forgive me and the pastor for our. We got it.
We're inconvenienced.
And so he's there in Lodabar, and David remembers the covenant.
Yes.
God's got a covenant with you this morning.
He does. Come on.
He's got a covenant with you. And if you allow yourself to be inconvenienced, if I allow myself to be inconvenienced, listen to the preacher. It is yet to be seen what God would do for a person that will allow themselves to be inconvenienced for the kingdom's sake. Everybody say, for the kingdom's sake.
For the kingdom's sake.
And he said, is there anybody in Jonathan's family that I can show kindness to?
Yeah.
Mephibosheth's down there. This is the only place he's ever going to be. Because he's crippled. Nothing good's ever happened in Mephibosheth's life. He's drawing what little Social Security he can draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not much. But David said, send somebody down there. He said, I want to show kindness to Mephibosheth.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to think about this. Mephibosheth allowed himself to be inconvenienced because he didn't want to leave Lodabar. That's all he knew. And if he gets out of Lodabar, it's out of his comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets out of his comfort zone, do you realize somebody might make fun of his crippled legs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm preaching good now.
Yeah.
But he said, I think I'll take a chance
yeah.
and allow myself to be inconvenienced. And the next picture is Mephibosheth is sitting at the king's table.
Come on. Yeah.
Do you hear me? He's sitting at the king's table, and at the king's table, everybody looks the same.
Yeah.
At the king's table, there's nobody more spiritual than anybody else. Mm-hmm. At the king's table, we've been inconvenienced for his sake. We are sanctified, holy. We have come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Sister Spooky Night even looks good to us.
Yeah.
Because we're all the same at the king's table.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Abraham, I'm bringing this to a close. Abraham was called by God to leave his country. His father said, "Son, where are you going?" He said, "I don't have any idea where I'm going. I'm just going to follow God." God said, "Because of your inconvenience in coming where I've led you," he said, "I'll make you as many stars as in the heavens will be your descendants."
Yeah.
Abraham's 90-something years old, and he's testifying on Wednesday night and said, "Miss Sarah is going to be having a baby."
Mm-hmm.
And they thought the old man needed to be put in a mental institution because Sarah's 90 years old. But did you know, because of his inconvenience in following God, one Sunday morning in church, they got little Isaac, and Sarah's holding him there.
Yeah.
Because nothing is too big for God.
Yes, sir.
If I allow myself to be inconvenienced for the kingdom's sake. Lot decided, on the other hand, that he did not want to be inconvenienced too much. The scripture said that Abraham gave him a choice of which direction he wanted to go. And Lot said, "I'll take this well-watered ground here." And the scripture said something that is very, very important that we don't want to miss. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. A lot of folks pitching their tent toward this world.
Yeah.
We used to sing it when I was a boy. "I don't want to get adjusted to this world, to this world. I've got a home that's so much better. I'm going to go there sooner or later. I don't want to get adjusted to this world."
Yes.
Can I ask you a question this morning? Does the Bible still say, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world"? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not. Does it still say that?
Still say it. Yes.
Does it still say, "Then come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you"?
Yes, sir.
If you do that, that's inconvenience.
Uh-huh.
Christopher's coming to the piano. I leave a scripture with you this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. This is the Apostle Paul writing to his son Timothy. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Here it is. "For the time will come when they don't want to be inconvenienced, and they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned way to their ears shall be turned from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But watch, be willing to be inconvenienced by the Lord, Timothy. Watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul looks out the window of that Roman or that cell that he's in, comes back and picks up the pen, and he says, Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure, it looks like it's at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. Not to me only. Not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Are you looking for his appearing? Do you want to be inconvenienced for the kingdom's sake? Would you stand with me this morning?